Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith God, your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for the confidence that we have in your word. Thank you for this ministry and her commitment to Christian education and to reaching her community and reaching the world. I ask you to help me tonight as I preach to your people. May we find strength and help and comfort from your word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading in this section of Isaiah in my personal devotions, and as I was reading it, I recognized this is the season where Israel is in exile. They're in this state of persecution, and Isaiah's message to them becomes, good times are going to come again. In other words, this season is over. And he begins in chapter 40 to lay out the fact that their time of exile is going to end. And in this exile, in this troubled time where they were, they longed for peace. They longed to go home. They were a nation held hostage and they just needed relief. And Isaiah, the next, keep in mind, this is one long letter or prophecy from Isaiah. So as we have the chapter markers, they help us find stuff easily. Can you imagine? I'd say to you, take the book of Isaiah and just keep turning until you get to the word that says this. That's why we have the chapter numbers. But keep in mind, it's all one flowing thought. Chapter 41 is where I want you to go with me tonight. Isaiah chapter 41. And he continues to explain why the exile was ending and what God was going to do to them. So God calls them to court in Isaiah chapter 41 in verse 1 and says, keep silence before me, O islands. Now, I know it would be easy to think of islands like we think of islands, but in the sense of those outlying communities of God's people, keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. So he calls them to his court. He said, I'm going to speak, then you can speak. I'm going to tell you what I've got to tell you, and then you can say what you would like to say. And God makes his case of who's taking care of Israel through all of this exile. Who was the one that protected them? And you say, well, where are we going with this? I'm not grasping what you're saying. Well, we're talking about the context, because the context is everything. Because the passage of Scripture I want to preach to you tonight is just a few verses later. But you have to see, this is God using Isaiah to tell his people that the tough times you've been going through are just about to end. And it is the mindfulness of God that I'd like to draw your attention to in verse number 17. If you would go, just jump ahead to me there so you understand how God is speaking. Look in verse number 17. When the poor and needy, you say, well, that's my verse. I could get that one. I qualify. All right, follow along. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. And I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the, or it doesn't say and, I added that, I'm sorry. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created this. This passage of Scripture that I just read to you is God telling his people, I am going to see you not only out, I saw you into this exile, I saw you through this exile, and I'll see you throughout of this exile. And I will show you who I am. Tough times come to believers, don't they? If you've been saved longer than 5 minutes, you know tough times come. Life can change in a phone call. A simple text message or a voicemail can change your whole disposition. Sometimes you feel like, does God even know where I am today? Does God not know what I'm going through? Think of Israel, all of these years in exile. And yet they were in trouble with God. But God said, that day was ending and I'm going to see you out of this. I'm going to take care of you. And sometimes I've watched in Christianity and our independent fundamental churches, I've watched it as we as a people will go through tough times. And when we get to those tough times, we begin to whine, complain, accuse. Now, mind you, if your kids did that, you'd send them to their room. But you do it and you feel better about yourself. Is God really unaware of where we are at any moment? Is there any emotional condition through which I can go that God does not know? No, God is keenly aware of every condition. We had a missionary with our missions agency. His name was Dennis. Last name was Jester. Dennis Jester served on an island, a tiny island out in the Western Pacific. And he was so frustrated with his what was happening in his life and his ministry. He drove out to the end of the island and took his Bible. Now you say, why is he taking his Bible out to the end of the island? He walks out into the water with the Bible in his hand. And he gets out to chest high and takes his Bible and he waves it in the air. And he said, God, this is Dennis. Do you even know where I am? You say, Brother O'Malley, was he discouraged? I think you even know his emotion, don't you? You know that feeling, and you don't even have to be a missionary, and you don't have to be on some island. You can be in the kitchen with your hands in the dishwater and saying, God, do you even know what I'm going through today? And you can be out in the backyard and watching life go by and watching the kids play, and your soul aches and longs for satisfaction and consolation and peace, and you just feel like you're so far away. You could even, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and maybe you're in it tonight, but you can even be in a church service, holding a hymn book, singing the songs, listening to the wonderful specials, and even in a church service, sitting there listening to the pastor preach, and have such a dry, aching spirit, and your soul seems so empty, and you're feeling like, God, is this even worth it? I want you to know something. It is always worth it. God always sees. And tonight, I can't promise to give you something profound, but I can maybe just show you five simple thoughts from this passage of Scripture to help you when life gets frustrating and difficult. My wife and I were driving up here this afternoon, and I was coming up on I-77, and I received probably one of the most disturbing texts I've ever received. I read that text, and I was just literally sick to my stomach. I thought, there's no way that just happened. And I just agonized in my heart. And I thought, my soul on earth, God, what is happening here? Now, maybe you're far more spiritual than I am. But I'm going to tell you, life can come at you pretty quickly. And if you're not careful, you can begin to accuse God, blame others, and doubt the very truths of God's Word. And tonight, I want you to find, and may I say it this way, solace with me in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to dig deep with me as we look in this portion of God's Word for the next 3.5 hours. I'll try to get you out by 11 a.m. And while I told you I have 5 things, before I give you those 5 things, let me give you just a big overview of the verses I just read in your hearing, which, as I pointed out the context, and hopefully you've grasped that, Isaiah is telling people the tough times are going to end, you're going home. And as part of God's plan for them going home, Isaiah delivers what God says to him. In verse number 17 and 18 and 19 and 20, I realize there is no location where God cannot reach us. There is no emotion which God cannot feel us. There is no condition which God cannot change. And there is no situation in which God will forsake us. These truths are eternal and foundational to everything that life brings to you. And as we keep in mind, as I say, life brings to you, nothing comes to me were it not stamped as approved by God Himself to make me better for His glory. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Look at the things which are seen. We don't look at those. Those are temporal. We look at the things that are eternal. That's who we are as God's people. But when tough times come, your kids mess up one more time. Your spouse messes up. You mess up. Life comes and you've got a disaster like you never saw. Dig deep into these truths with me in verse number 17, 18, 19, and 20. Number one, the first thing I want you to see. If you're writing things down, I promise you, this is really simple. Zach, you'll get this. 3 words. You ready, buddy? Now, is that Andrew beside you? I figured I could. Oh, we're waving. Okay, fine. Let's wave. I just got on the struggle bus. Verse 17, the first point I need to learn is this. God hears me. Look at verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. You say, He's God. They've been in trouble. If they thirst, they ought to suffer. They've been on their own. And God says through Isaiah, when you get thirsty, I'll be concerned about that. Notice what He says. I, the Lord, will hear them. God hears me. He said, well, sure, you're a preacher. He's supposed to listen to you. Before I'm anybody, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You say, God hears me even when I'm in trouble. God hears me. You probably grew up perfect children. I had 5 brothers and sisters. They were wretched heathen. I was the only sanctified one amongst them. Sort of. And I'm going to tell you, when we kids got in trouble, you just wanted to get out of the presence of mom and dad. It's like, just let them chill. They'll be fine. And then you ease back out and you think, are they okay? Am I still going to get yelled at? Am I still in trouble? And you're in that moment. Even them in trouble, God said, here's my commitment to you, kids. I'll hear when you're thirsty. There's a literal sense in my mind. I say that just in my mind. There's a literal sense of this. Have you ever been so thirsty, and this is dangerous to say, because you're at least a good hour from getting water after this service. But I'm just kidding. You ever been so thirsty your tongue gets pasty to the roof of your mouth and you got nothing to swallow? There go four people to the water fountain, you know. And you get in this place where you're just, I must have something to drink. And then what happens with your mouth? It gets pasty and then smacks, and it's just, and for me, in my mind of a literal sense, God says, I can hear that. When you're thirsty, you're poor and needy, you can't find water, I'll hear you. Have you ever watched the superpowers of a mom? Well, I mean, you put a group of moms together, right? And you get their kids playing nearby, perhaps dangerously so, in another room. And all of a sudden, one kid cries. And the right mom knows which kid and which cry belongs to which kid. Furthermore, they know whether it's sincere or fake from the other room. That's superpowers. Right? You know, God knows His kids. And He knows when He's thirsty. And God says, I can hear you. You ever see, or perhaps had your own kids do it, where you're so deep reading into something, I'm holding up an imaginary newspaper, I probably should go to this, and you're reading, and the kids come along, and they grab you by the face and say, look at me. Nobody ever has to do that to God. He heard you when you were thirsty. Say, do you really believe that? With all of my heart. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because He said to His kids who were in exile, in trouble, and they're going to come home, and He said to them, when you get to the place where you're so thirsty, 55 years old, and my voice is going to change tonight. Zach, don't laugh. I'm coming for you. But you get to the place where you're just so thirsty, God says, I will. That's a promise. Hear you. Number one. You got this down, Zach, so I can go on to the second point? God hears me. Andrew, watch out who you hang out with, buddy. I'm telling you. Number two, God knows where I am. Notice what He says in 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. That's point one. God hears me. And the second one says, I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Number two, God knows where I am. I will not forsake them in their struggle. I will not forsake them in their thirst. I will not forsake them in their trial. There will never be a place they can go where I cannot reach them. I will not forsake them. What is it to forsake? It is to walk away. It is to leave behind. It is to absolutely neglect and ignore. And God said, I will never do that to you. I will never leave you alone. I will be with you. And there won't be a moment where you will be by yourself. I will hear you and I know where you are. During supper, or just before supper tonight, I got another text from my sister-in-law. Said my brother was put into the hospital with an infection, had an accident at work, and it worsened. And I thought about, there he is in Palm Beach County in the midst of that storm and their damage. He's in the hospital. And you just want to say, God never forsakes anybody. He's with them all the way. I don't know how you came in here this morning, or this evening. I don't know how you came in here this evening. You say, well, I took my car. What do you think? I rode a horse? No, I don't know your soul's condition when you came in. I'm not talking about your status with God. I'm talking about your emotional condition. I don't know what you're ashamed about. I don't know what you're afraid of. And I don't know what you're angry about. Those are the three big categories of human emotion. shame, anger, and fear. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I can assure you, you're not forsaken. You say, but you don't understand. My kids just messed up. My husband made the dumbest decision. And now we're in this situation and I feel I just lost my job. My family member is sick. I have this much human emotion going through me and I don't know what to do. Number one, remember, God hears you. God won't forsake you. He said, I am the God of Israel. I'm committed to Israel's existence. He guaranteed Israel's existence as long as the sun and the moon and the stars kept their order. He said, I will keep Israel. And he said, I am the God of Israel and I will not forsake you. What you worried about? Well, I just don't know how I'm going. God's in charge. He hears you. I mean, if you just think about the literal sense, he hears thirst. That's incredible. He doesn't leave you. Why? There's a really big theological word that we call it omnipresent. That means he's everywhere present at all times. So do you believe that? I do. He's God. Third thing I want you, Zach, we ready? Three. Third thing I want you to see tonight is, this is a big word now, Zach. God intervenes for me. Notice we see in verse number 18, God's doing stuff here. You can just put that, God does stuff for me. You could put that. Intervenes is the idea of he steps in. Notice what he does. 18. I want you to see the water source, because that's the problem. If you're thirsty, I can get a water. What is that? Where did that come from? A water source for you. I know it's easy to laugh at me, ma'am, but I'm using a lot of words tonight, and so you're bound to mess up some words somewhere along the way. Water source. I will open, watch now, water source, rivers. Where? In high places. Next water source. Fountains. Where's he going to get those? The midst of valleys. I'm going to give you a pool of water. Where at? In the wilderness. And I'm going to give you springs of water. Where? In a dry land. Isaiah is pointing to the two human needs that someone in a wilderness experience would go through. The first one is water. They will need water. And God said, if you're in the toughest spot, high on a mountain, in a high plains area, I can produce water there. If you're in a valley, I can produce water there. If you're in a wilderness, I can get you water. It doesn't matter where you are. I can meet the need of your soul's thirst. If you're in a place where your soul is barren and your spirit is dry, God can meet your need and say, you're in a high plains desert, I got the water for you. If you're in a low, low spot, I can get water there. If you're out in the middle of a wilderness, I can make a pool of water. So wherever you go and wherever you're thirsty, I got that. What a God. I was talking to a rancher out west, I think Montana, and he was talking about digging a well. At our house, we live probably pretty much just due south of you, just south of Winston is where we live. And our well is like 260-something feet for our well. I don't know how deep you dig your wells here. Out there, he said, 900 before you're fortunate just to find water. I know how much our well cost at 200-and-something feet. I don't even want to think about what a well would cost at 900 just to hope you get water. And God said, I don't need a well digger. I got this. Wherever my kids are, I'll get them water because I'm looking out for them. I hear them. I don't forsake them. I'll intervene for them. You say, well, will God do that for me? I'm not a preacher. God does it for His kids. No title needed. Just child of God. Number four. You ready to move on, Zach? Okay, here we go. Number four. God arranges things for me. I'm pointing to two natural conditions that would take place. These folks are going to journey home. They're going to get thirsty. And God said, I got the water problem taken care of. The next thing they're going to need is shade or shelter in the midst of their journey. And the second thing to which God points is clear to me, but it comes in a unique way. Watch what He says. I will plant. Whoa! God planting stuff? Oh, that's no problem. He spoke the whole world into existence, even had a garden, put His first kids there. They messed up. God knows how to plant stuff. But notice what He says. I will plant where? In the wilderness. I didn't think things grew in the wilderness. Keep reading. God's going to put the cedar tree, the shittah tree, and the myrtle tree, and the oil tree. Wow. You say, what's an oil tree? No, it doesn't have cans or bottles of oil hanging off. That's different. This is the olive oil. And God said, I'm going to give you trees that will give you shade. I'm going to be able to say, in the middle of the wilderness, I'll put trees that you'll not expect to find. And I'm going to do that for your benefit. Because there are things I want you to see, know, understand, and grasp. And when I realize this, that God will help me find in the midst of my wilderness signs of His protection and mercy and grace, what a comfort it is to know that God arranges things for me. Notice verse 18. I'm in 19, sorry, the second part of 19. I will set in the desert fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together. Now, do you expect to find... Zach, do you know the difference between a deciduous tree and a coniferous tree? Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Trees with leaves and trees with pine cones and needles. Got it? Okay, here we go. God said, I can put those together in a desert. Intentional planting, not haphazard seeds dropped by birds. God said, I'm going to put these three trees together. And when you're on your journey home and you see these three trees together, you better know this, I did that. Andrew, I'm giving up on struggle bus Zach here. I'm coming to you. This must be the troublemaker section. First, you mocked me with your laughter. I'm just kidding. Sort of. Andrew, if you were out in the woods, so far so good, you with me? Okay, good. And you're walking, so far so good? You have your shoes on, and you're headed out. You come across a fence in the woods, so far so good? And the fence has fence posts. With me? And you look on, this is all imaginary, so stay with me. I don't need you to drift, okay? On that fence post is a turtle. On top of the fence post. Now, I know you just blew a circuit breaker in imagination world. Exactly. Fence post, turtle. On top of there. What is your first thought? What? How did that happen? Did it climb? You would hope not. What's your name? Isaac. Really, can't you find a better row to sit in, son? I mean, for real. Do you have parents? Are they in this room? Who are the parental units? Please. Guide your children. What would you think? A little weird. I know he couldn't crawl up there. That means somebody put him there. The turtle put him there. Oh, that's special. Are you, Isaac, are you going to be in chapel tomorrow? Are you going to be in chapel tomorrow? You going to be there? No, we'll pick this up later. It didn't get there on its own. Would you walk right by? No. You'd stop and look at that and think, how did that happen? Who did that? God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to put three trees together that you wouldn't ordinarily see together. And I'm going to put it in a place you'd never expect to see it. And when you walk by that, you're going to know that's a turtle on a fence post moment. That's something that God did. For whom? Just for me. Why? Because God arranges things just to remind me. Tell me you've been through a tough time and you open your Bible in the morning and you say, oh God, I need something today. And you open this word. And I'm not talking about this random. Got it. You know, and you end up, Judas hung himself. You know, it's like, do it again. Go do likewise. You say, no, that's not what we're doing. But you pick up the Word of God and you read it and you say, God, my soul needs something today. And God gives you a verse. You drive to work and you're listening to Christian music on the radio and a song just blesses your heart. You put in a CD of your pastor's preaching and you listen to that and it's like, oh, my soul needed this today. Those are turtle on the fence post moments. Those are God putting three trees together where they did not belong, saying, I did this for you to let you know I haven't forgotten you. I know exactly where you are. God does for us, we're his kids. Number five, because Zach's out of paper. And you're welcome to come to chapel tomorrow too for continuation. Right? Can they come to chapel? Good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I'll be up all night just planning. Verse 20. God said, I'm going to do this that they may, watch, see, know, consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Number five, God shows his hand to me because he wants me to see his work. He wants me to know his work. He wants me to consider his work. He wants me to understand his work. God can show me his hand anywhere. Why? Because he wants to get the glory even when I'm going through a tough time. There's no emotion that I can experience that God does not know. There's no condition I can be in that God does not understand. There's no moment of my life that I'll ever be alone. God hears me. God does not forsake me. God intervenes for me. God arranges things for me. And God wants to show his hand to me. The beauty of the Word of God and being an absolute stranger to the majority of you is I don't know your junk. I just don't. I don't know what you're going through. But God does. I don't know what phone call you got today. I don't know what you went through. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But these are eternal truths that will not change. God hears me. God hears me. He knows where I am. He intervenes for me. He arranges things for me. And he just wants to show his hand. I wonder who here tonight would say, God, I'm at that place. I need to see your hand tonight. Maybe tonight's message was your turtle on the fence post. The other night, I went to church. The person said, that's my last service. If I don't get something from God, that's it. I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm going to go home, commit suicide. What does God do?
He sends the right message there. Why? Because God loves His kids. Don't quit. Don't give up. But if your heart is heavy tonight, this is a place to start the conversation with God. If you're in the midst of a storm, get here tonight and talk with God. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're in that moment right now of peace, and there's nothing really wrong. Why don't you come thank Him that He is there? Maybe you're in a place tonight and you just say, oh, I need tomorrow in this situation, I need to see a turtle on a fence post just to know it's God. And tonight I ask you to have that conversation with Him.